Thank you for playing, Carol.
Well, good morning, and welcome here. Our primary text this morning is going to be from Genesis chapter 24, so you can turn there. When we read through the Bible, God, in an effort to help us understand who we are in Christ, our salvation, our victory, gives us words to describe who we are. He calls us sons. He calls us ambassadors. He calls us priests. He calls us kings. Closer. Yeah, I should tell you this. You can all help me, actually, in this, as a body. I'm overcoming stage fright and my hatred of this little guy. So if you can't hear me, just say so, and I'll get dialed back in. And so he calls us kings, stewards, which we'd like to talk about this morning. He calls us slaves, heirs, and so on. And I think what has helped me in my Christian life is to take that topic then, what is a steward? What was a steward in the time that it was spoken? And take then from that what God's heart for me and you is, how we should live in this world. God's heart isn't that we wander through this world alone, always groping, never finding community or the support that God wants us to have. Sometimes we must walk alone, but I think it's in the understanding that God is doing a work in our lives and in the world, and as we're conscious of that, I think we become more effective in our Christian life and the work that God has called us to do. So in Genesis chapter 24, there's a story about a steward, and I like to draw some parallels from this man's life and make them practical to our life. And make some comparisons. So let's read Genesis 24, verses 1, and we'll read to verse 9. Now Abram was old and well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abram in all things. So Abram said to his oldest servant of his house, and the reason we know this man's name is Eliezer is because in chapter 15, Abram is talking to God and saying, I don't have an heir. And if I don't have an heir, my household will go to my oldest servant, Eliezer. And so this servant's name here is Eliezer, and he is the steward of Abram's house. He is filling the role in Abram's house that we are filling in the kingdom of heaven as children of God. God has asked us to live like stewards in our Christian life. And we'll refer to these verses later on. But so what is it that God wants us to understand about stewardship so we can bring glory to God? He said, please put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord God of heaven and the God of earth that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But you shall go to my country and to my family and take your wife for my son Isaac. And the servant said to him, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came? But Abram said, beware that you do not take my son back there. No discussion. The Lord God of heaven, whom took me from my father's house and from the land of my fathers, who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, your descendants I will give this land. Key point, he will send his angel before you. And there you shall take a wife for my son from there. And if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. And only do not take my son back there. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. Okay. What are the parallels to our Christian experience today? First of all, to be a steward of God, you must first be in the household of God. When God, as we remembered this morning, called us out of a life of sin into Christ, we are welcome into the family of God as a son. Right? It's a positional thing. But as a son or daughter of God, God has asked us then to serve him and walk with him. And God, like Abraham did to Eliezer, he sends us into the world as ambassadors, as evangelists, as teachers, to bring the information or the, and we'll talk about that later, but we bring on behalf of God to people what God's heart is for them. So first of all, we must be in the house, and then God gives us the commission to go. The thing I'd like to look at here then is how he went. And then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed. That's verse 10. For all his master's goods were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia. One of the key points to understand about a steward is that a steward does not work for wages. A steward lives off of the wealth and the bounty of his master's house. Which is also true of our Christian life, right? All that we have received, all that we have, is given to us by our Father in heaven through Christ. So we don't actually have anything to give the world of ourselves. Neither did Eliezer. He didn't say, well, I think I'll do a good deed for my master, and I'm going to take out a loan and get some stuff. In case this doesn't pan out, we're not out much. What he did is he went to his master's house, and he took his master's wealth, and he went on his master's mission. Think about that in your own life when you go into the world. Whose resources are you actually tapping into to accomplish what you feel God is calling you to do? For the sake of a picture, does everybody here know what an Amazon Prime warehouse looks like? They look like they're about 100 city blocks. I don't know, they're massive, right? But if you ever watched that on YouTube or whatever, these little robots. But see, in our Father's house, there is, if you can imagine, racks and racks of promises, truths. So there's, you know, there's hope, there's forgiveness, there's restitution, there's healing, there's... And you can go through the New Testament and all the promises that are like on these racks. Then God says, I want you to go to your neighbor. And I want you to go love them. As a steward, then, now you have your command. Go to your neighbor. How do you arm yourself? How do you decide what you should take along? Do you say, well, good luck for me. This guy doesn't know anything about the Bible, really. He's an amateur in the scriptures, so I'll just wing it. What resources do we take? We go in Jesus' name, but as a steward of the kingdom of heaven, God is asking us then to go into the wealth that we have in our Father's house. If you want to imagine having a basket in your hand and you go pick off the shelf what is true about God in this situation, and then you take your basket to your neighbor, and you really, what you do is you set it down there. This is what's true from God for you for now. And what you do as a steward is you let them deal with what's in the basket before the Lord. That's what a steward does. And then he goes back home, and on the next mission, God says, now I want you to go to, I don't know, Nigeria. You might need a bigger basket, more resources. But the warehouse is always full. The shelves are replenishing. And God is there. He provides what we need to give to others. And that's what Eliezer did here. He took the wealth of his master's house and he headed off to Mesopotamia. Now, he had lots of time to think on the back of his camel there, on his way down. And in verse 11, he made his camels to kneel down outside the city by the well of water at evening time when the women came out to draw. And then he said, O Lord of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Everything we do as stewards of Christ is for the benefit of our master and for the glory of our master. You know, if this plan would have failed, remember, he was the successor to the house. The reflection of his heart, right? He knew if Isaac disappeared, he got the household of Abraham. It wasn't his heart, right? He wanted God's will to be done. And so he said, O Lord, my God, Master, please give me success this day. And I'd like to turn back then to 1 Peter 4, verse 10, and make the parallel back to our experience. First Peter 4, verse 10. As each one of us has received a gift, when we come to Christ, one of the things that happen to us is that in Christ we receive spiritual gifts. God equips us for the ministry he has for us. Minister it to one another. As God, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. Essentially, God has asked us to simply repeat what is true, not to invent any of our own truth. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability to which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong glory and dominion forever and ever. If you just stop and think about that, right now in heaven, while we are sitting here, worshiping the Lord and thinking about Him, we have a Father in heaven that's controlling everything in the world. Everything's under His authority. The salvation that comes through Jesus Christ is relevant to every single person on the globe today. There's nobody that wouldn't qualify for Jesus, the atonement of Christ. But He has asked us as stewards under that umbrella of authority to go into His warehouse, get what you need from your Father, and go and take it to the person He's asking you to share it with. It takes a lot of stress out of your ministry, because now you no longer have to be the wisest guy in the room. You just have to know where the entrance door to the warehouse is to go in and get what you need. You're no longer in competition with anybody, because as a steward, you're only there to deliver what God has given you to deliver. There is no follow-up plan necessarily for you. And I was just thinking about that. You know, we are working, we are co-laborers, the Bible says, with Christ in a kingdom that is much bigger than us. It's much bigger than us here. All of us collectively, God's children, are working all over this world, this globe, right? And we are asked to join in as co-laborers into that great big work that God has. This is why you can be saved for 20 minutes and be qualified to be a steward. Because all you have to do is know how to find what God has in His warehouse for you. And if you don't like warehouse, just call it something else. But another thing that happens here then. So he made his camels to kneel down outside the city, verse 11, by the well of water at evening time, the time that the women went out to draw water. Being a steward requires trusting in the Lord for God to move His hand supernaturally for you. You'll notice when Abraham sent Eliezer out, he didn't say, when you get down to Mesopotamia, you know, back when I used to live there, you know, I think the well move would be the move to do. If you know, your best chance of getting a wife for my son would be to go to the well. Try the well move. You know, I think that's the move. You know, sometimes we spend so much time strategizing for how we want to kind of land in the, you know, in the strike zone, that we forget to remember that the supernatural hand of God has gone before us. Remember here that God sent His angel before Eliezer in this account. Who goes before you when you go out? When you leave here, who's going to go before you? Are you consciously thinking about that? Who's going to go before you? I've been thinking about that. But He's there, and He needs a miracle. He can stand at the well all day long, but what He needs is one young woman to complete this mission anyway. He needs one young woman who's willing to drop everything in her life and jump on a camel and ride back to the wilderness to marry a man she's never met, to a culture she doesn't know. I'm not a woman, but I'm suspecting that would be considered high risk. Right? She will need more than just standard motivation, if you want to say, to take a risk like that, would you say? I think so. I don't think that, you know. So the supernatural hand of God had to be in play here, as it does in our own lives. So just think about that as you're going to go into your next ministry opportunity. What are you going to reach out for to, in theory, arm yourself? And what are you trusting God for? You know, we pray for our children. We pray for our family that isn't saved. Sometimes, you know, we ask God for healing for people we love. You know, we have inflation in our economy, you know. So we worry about our homes and our, you know, there are real things in our lives that are very real to us. But none of that can be moved with our hand, our ability. As a steward, we go in the name of Jesus, and we need the supernatural hand of God to move on our behalf. So something to think about. And it's good to ask God for those things. Lord, so Eliezer here, he says, well, we're going to park here by the well. And he says to the Lord, or to God, of the God of heaven, he said, now, verse 14, now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink. And she says, drink, and I will also give your camels to drink. Let her be the one that you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. And it happened before he had finished speaking, that behold, Rebekah, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abram's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. Do you think that was chance? Did he get lucky? Or was God working before he even got to the well? Or is it just in the Bible, making up a nice Bible story? You know, that makes a nice Bible story. That's how it worked in the Bible. But it doesn't work that way in my life. I mean, goodness. You know, before this happened, there was a lot of obedience. There was a lot of forsaking. Abraham gave up all of his dreams for God's call. He was an old man already by the time this promise being fulfilled. He gave a whole lifetime to obedience before God made this move for him. So it's important to keep the story in context here. Plus, they were actually in obedience fulfilling something that God had already spoken. He said, the Messiah will come through Isaac's seed. It was prophesied. And so God couldn't fail. We know that. But we also know that men can have devious intentions. But as these men and women here walked in obedience to the light they had, they saw God move. And it's an incredible thing. Now the young woman, verse 16, was very beautiful to behold. That's an interesting point. A virgin, no man had known her. And she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Please let me drink a little water from your pitcher." And as I read this, think about all that's happening here while this is happening. You have God in heaven watching. You have the angel of the Lord there. You have the will of God there. You have a young woman who's getting water like she did every day. She's just doing one of the boring tasks of life. You know, how much of life is just boring, mundane work? Have you ever got up and went to work at your boring job to do more boring work? Has it ever occurred to you that this is the day that maybe the Lord wants to use your boring work to bring glory to God? Because there's a lot of jobs that are just, they're sadly mundane. Like getting water out of a well, right? Faithfulness in the life of a servant of God is key, even in the boring things. And she had no idea when she said, "Drink, my Lord," verse 18. Then she quickly let down her pitcher, pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, "I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking." Then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran back to the well to draw water and drew for all her camels. And the man, wondering at her, remained silent as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous. You know, this story isn't about how much water camels drink. It's not even about her work ethic. You know, sometimes we talk about those things. It's about the fact that God was taking the mundane events and bringing glory and fulfilling his purposes in their lives. And that's what I'd like to encourage you in, actually. It's one of the points I was going to make. I just remember now. In the mundane, simple things of your life, God wants to get glory out of your life. But he does it because we trust in him and we're faithful. And after, obviously, the camels drank, and the man, wondering at her, verse 21, remained silent as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. So it was that the camels had finished drinking, and the man took a golden nose ring weighing half a shekel, and two bracelets from her wrists, weighing 10 shekels of gold, and said, "Whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge?" You know, I was thinking, they made some really nice jewelry for her, and they gave it to her. I guess it must be culturally relevant to have a nose ring that weighs half a shekel. But the reality is, it isn't even about the gifts. It's about God moving. And moreover, she said to him, "We have both straw and feed enough and room to lodge." And then I'd like to look at verse 26, 27 as it's relevant to us. As we go through our experience in life, you know, I just thought of this now. Sometimes when Edith and I, back when our two youngest children were really young, it seemed like all we really did was chase them and catch them and change their diapers and put them to bed and get them up and feed them. And by the time your day was over, you're just like, we're beat. Like, and then you'd try to reach out for something inspiring, and someone would say something like, you know, and rightfully so, but it was just, you know, maybe you should do more witnessing or something, right? And you're like, oh my goodness, like, how are we going to be in a ministry? And we're just chasing these two little people, right? We love them, but they, yeah, just the way it is. You know, that's one of the blessings of being a steward. We go when we're sent. And we're not supposed to look at what the other stewards are doing and decide, well, man, I should keep up with that one. He's a real zippy steward. He gets a lot done. We're supposed to look to God and say, send me on a task that I am able to do in the situation that I find myself in and with the abilities I have. And I was thinking about that as I was thinking about stewardship. You know, there are seasons of life that we all go through. But see, as a steward, it says here in 1 Corinthians 4:2, it says, more is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. Faithfulness is the key tenet of stewardship. And that's Paul referring to himself in his ministry. And then to us. So I'd say this morning, if you're stressed out about things like that, just take some time to think about that. How can I serve God as a steward where I am? You know? And do what God has asked me to do. Because, you know, the guy in verse 25, there was a slave in the house of Rebecca that put the straw in the feed in the barn where the Eliezer parked his camels overnight. He also was part of the plan. But we just don't read about him. That's in verse 25. The straw didn't get there by itself. You know, God will give us something to do that we're able to do. Then the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord, verse 26. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master. Notice his heart again. His desire is always primarily centered on the fact that God would get glory through his master. Who's your master? Jesus Christ is our master, right? Everything that comes out of our life is to bring glory back to our master, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. For as me being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brother. Maybe we'll turn to Mark here to close as we think about these things and our lives and how we walk before the Lord. Jesus, in Mark 16, I've been thinking about these verses and what they all could mean. But Jesus said, in verse 15, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will take up serpents, and they will drink anything deadly, and it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he had received them up. He was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And that's where he is right here, right? In our time. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the work through the accompanying of signs. The connection I'd like to make from here back to our story is that as they went out, as these people went out, as we are sent out, it says, they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. They were in partnership with the Lord. And as stewards, as evangelists, as apostles. So as you plan out your week this week, and you think about, I'll go here, I'll do this, I'll do that, ask yourself another question. As a steward of the Lord, what has God asked me to do for him this week? And if he says, yeah, I'd like you to have tea with your neighbor, ask the Lord another question. What would you like me to take? And see how God opens up those doors for you to allow him to work through you and for the glory of God. And someday then, when we come before him, he could also say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant, come into my glory. And those will be good words to hear after you've spent a life of working for him here, because we love him and we've been redeemed by him. So think about that, see what the Lord fills you in on that.